There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. He has sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamb that burned and gave life, and you choose for a time to enjoy his life. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept the glory from one another, but do not see the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before my Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that we hear and are able to listen to your words. Please open our hearts and minds to get the what we need from Matt's message and help him find the right way to tell us all these things that we need, and please bless all us today while we're listening. Amen.
Thanks, Kathy. Most of the major religions today believe in Jesus, and they either believe him as God or divine in some way, or an angel, or as a good, wise teacher. So for us as Christians in the UK today, often when I meet people of other faiths or other beliefs, they often say to me, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But then they don't accept him as God, as Savior, or as Lord, as we do. But one of the oldest major religions in the world does not believe Jesus is God. They don't even believe that Jesus was a good moral teacher. And many of them even hate him or consider him a false prophet. Does anyone know what that religion is?
Judaism.
And so, which for many of us who have been read the Bible, that seems so ironic, that seems so different, that seems so strange. But the reason Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago and the Jewish people pushed Jesus, some of the Jewish people pushed Jesus to die on a cross, was because Jesus said that he was God. That he admitted being the Messiah, that he said that I am, as in reference to Moses, when Moses spoke to the burning bush, and God said, I am. Jesus admitted that this is who I am. And even though they and many others witnessed or were part of his miracles, even though he fed thousands, and even though he set people free or healed diseases that no one else could, and even though he fulfilled loads of prophecies, the Bible says about over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled. Yet still, with all of that, they rejected him. And they didn't believe that he fulfilled certain prophecies, which I'll show you a bit later. They didn't like certain things that he said or did concerning the Mosaic laws, especially around the Sabbath. And healing on the Sabbath and doing good things on the Sabbath. They didn't like how he treated non-Jews as well and how he looked to love them and share truth to them. And so because of this and because of him claiming to be God, they got him convicted of blasphemy and nailed him to a cross, which we believe happened 2,000 years ago, and which history is split on that, you got before and after him. But 2,000 years on, so today now, 2026, what do Jews believe today? That's what Jews believed back then. What do Jews believe today? Because as we've been going through this series of Jesus concerning himself in the Old Testament, I don't know about you, but I've been reading and seeing it. It seems obvious that Jesus is the Messiah. It seems obvious that he fulfilled all these things. And I sometimes think, why don't Jews believe this? It seems obvious, why don't they accept it? And I'm going to show us a short video now that is done by a Jewish man, and he goes around in Jerusalem, they call it a YouTube channel, so he goes around in Jerusalem asking Jews different questions. And this question that he's asking Jewish people is, who is Jesus to you? Why don't you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And just before we watch, just to have some context with three views of Jews and Jesus today. Some Jews would be brought up saying that they can't touch the New Testament, so the New Testament is evil, they're not allowed to read it, it's forbidden, like they even look at it, it's dangerous. Some would be cultural Jews who wouldn't necessarily be religious and they wouldn't care about Jesus, or they would be fine with him being a nice guy but wouldn't believe that he's anything more than that. And then you would have Jewish scholars who really looked at the scriptures, really looked at Jesus' life, really read the New Testament and they would say, show scripturally why Jesus isn't the Messiah. So just watch this short video, because this is just not up-to-date one, where they're asking a variety of people, Jewish people, who is Jesus to you, or why is Jesus not the Messiah?
Mi se Ješu, pišite li?
Ješu, zemlje, se, da date na cud.
Ok. Ali, što vaše opcije da znači, ako bi ljudi mnogo bi gledali Ješu? 主啊，是啊，有。שאלה ראשונה, זה מי זה ישו בשבילנו, בשביל היהודים? איזה עמדה יש לו?
ישו תולד לאמא נוצרית, לאמא יהודייה, בעיקרון יהודי. ואני מספר אותו כמנהיג שלהם.
אוקיי.
אלה טוענים שהוא לא נולד מאמא בכלל, הוא כאילו...
מאבא, כאילו אבא שלו אלוהים. כן, נכון.
אבל אנחנו יודעים שהוא נולד כמנהיג.
אוקיי. מאיפה אנחנו יודעים בעצם?
זה מובן מה הם יודעים אותו בבית.
אוקיי, מה כתוב?
שמי יתבר, כתוב שם מי יתבר, אני לא זוכר מילים את השם, מתייצב, אני...
אוקיי, יוסף, היה לו הבעל יוסף.
אני לא זוכר מי יתבר.
בסדר, גם אני לא מוכר בזה, אוקיי. אבל אין לו אם יש לו עמדה ספציפית ביהדות, נגיד באסלאם, יש לו עמדה ספציפית כפרופט.
תורת ישו אני לא מכיר, אני לא יודע מה עמדה שלו.
אוקיי. אוקיי, ואני מניח למה הם שואלים, וזה למה אנחנו לא מבינים בישו כהמשיח? אתה יכול לדבר על זה?
למה אנחנו לא מבינים שמה?
שהוא המשיח.
למה כן? למה שנבין? מה ההסבר שהוא כן המשיח?
אני לא יודע, אני לא נוצרי, אני אסביר לך, אבל יש לי בטח סיבות, אבל למה הוא לא?
אוקיי, אני אוכל להתקח לך, אני רוצה להגיד את
זה עדיין. זה, אני לא יודע מה זה, אני לא יודע, אני עושה את זה. אני צריך להגיד לך עם הראש, סורי, סורי, נוצרים, אין מושג. אבל לפי, יש כאילו למה הוא לא, כאילו מה צריך להיות, שהוא יהיה משיח או שמישהו יהיה משיח?
הוא לא משיח.
אוקיי.
עכשיו, אתה משיח שהוא משיח, הוא יכול בגלל שהוא לא נולד מהם, כאילו, ישיר מאלוקים, אני לא יודע.
לא, אני יודע שהוא בא מבסלחם, הבית של יסי, יש, כאילו, הבית הנכון, חוץ מזה, לא יודע.
אבל זה לא דבר לגבי היהדות, זה לא המשיח.
זה לא המשיח, אז מי המשיח יכול להיות?
אנחנו אף אחד לא יודע. מי שיודע, מי שיודע לא אומר, מי שאומר לא יודע.
מה זה אומר?
מי שיודע,
מה הוא
יודע? לא אומר, לא יודע. מי שאין לך שהוא יודע, זה מה שהוא יודע.
אוקיי. אז אין, אבל לא, אני בתור יהודי, אני תמיד חשבתי שיש, כאילו, המשיח חייב להיות X, Y, Z.
לא, אף אחד לא יודע.
אוקיי. אז איך נדע שהוא...
תהיה בסדר, אנחנו פה איזה...
אוקיי, תודה. Who is Jesus for you?
דמות בשביל אנשים שלא חושבים לבד.
אוקיי. לא אינטרסטר, אוקיי. אוקיי, so you think...
It's a story for people that are not told with the dmut.
אוקיי. And you think that about all religions or just Christians?
מי זה ישו, כאילו, בבחינת מהמבט היהודית?
יש לי מה על ישו, מסכת סנהדרין, שהוא היה תלמיד של תנא, אבל הוא חכם בעיקר. יצא לדרך שהיא לא הדרך של היהדות, הוא האמין בזה שכבר הגיע המצב הממלכה, או שלא הגיע המצב הממלכה. משהו כזה.
אוקיי. מה נוסיף? אתה יודע. אז השאלה, מה למה אנחנו יהודים לא מאמינים שישו הוא המשיח?
כיוון שלא הגיע. בסופו של דבר הגיעו לנו יש יותר עניין בלעבוד ולעשות מצוות, אבל היהדות טוענת שעדיין יש מה לעשות מצוות, כי גם כיוון שעדיין אף אחד פה לא נהנה, אדם מוחלטת, ברור שעדיין לא
נהנה. זה על ישו, מי זה ישו? בין הבת ה-Jesus Christ ובבת היהודית.
ישו?
כן.
הרי הוא לא קשור אלינו
בכלל. אז למה הוא לא משיח?
הוא לא קשור אלינו, אנחנו מאמינים בתורה, יש לנו את התורה,
יש לנו את התורה שלנו.
הוא יהודי שהוא קצר, ואף פעם נצרות. סיבק בדיוק, על בסרט, בצליל שהוא לא חרמיים. אנחנו שעמיד בצלב, הוא עמיד בצלב. אנחנו יש לנו מגד המיד, יש לנו את אלוהים לא בשמיים. אנחנו מאמינים בתורה, שאלוהים קטן לנו בארץ עיניים. אנחנו לא מאמינים בישו, יש לך לא קשור אלינו, אין לנו קשר לישו. יש לנו את התורה שאמינה, אנחנו מאמינים, חוקים, הכל יש בתורה.
that's really sad, isn't it? I don't know how you feel about listening to that. That's just really sad to hear that and to see people's impression of that. But just to show where we are in the story of where we've been going with this concern and stuff, where Jesus going through what considered the Jewish Bible, what we call the Old Testament, in all these different aspects. And I'm just going to just briefly go back to where we are and suggest three reasons why Jesus is, or for some people isn't, Messiah. But let's just see, it gets us perspective where we are in the story. As you can see now, we've only got a few left. But we've looked at from creation and from Adam and Eve up to where we are today in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And so you've got this 4,000 year period of Adam, and you look at the genealogy of Adam and Eve and his life in the flood, and Abraham, and then the kings. And then the last book we have in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. So this period from Adam to Malachi is around 4,000 years. And you look at that through the genealogies and all that's recorded in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So that's where what we have. But then also you have this thing called the 400 years of silence. We call it the intertestamental period. So the between the testaments. So between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's around 400 years. Some people say it's the 400 years of silence. But historically, things happened there. So you've got Alexander the Great, you've got the Maccabees revolt, and so it's not as if like nothing happened for those 400 years. Things happened during that time, but we would say that the Old Testament ended 400 BC, but then Jesus is the Messiah, and so he fulfilled that. Where the Jews, people of Israel and Judaism, they would say that this 400 years now is 2,400 years because the Messiah hasn't come, so they're still waiting for that. But we believe that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And just as a timeline of the written text, and so even though Adam was 4,000 BC, Moses was the one who wrote quite a lot of it down, a lot of this oral tradition, so it had been passed on orally. But then Moses spent a lot of time with God and put pen to paper in that sense on the scrolls. And so you have the Old Testament written between 1400 BC and 400 BC, so like a 1,000-year period where those 39 books that we have in the Old Testament were written, and then you have 400 years of silence, and then the New Testament, so another 27 books written over a 100-year period. But again, if you go online or hear people, they think it was written thousands of years after or hundreds of years after. But if you speak to a historian, there's massive, solid proof evidence of the validity of the New Testament. So that's why we have the Bible. But also, I found this slide, just to finish off on these slides, very helpful. Because we kind of maybe think, oh, this is a Jewish religion, or this is just for the Jews, or just for the people of Israel. But if you look at what we have here, where we have creation after Abraham, and so then this person is saying that's the first division, so 2,000 years of Gentiles. So God was loving the whole world, he wanted the whole world to know him. The people rejected him, and so, but this was Gentiles, non-Jews, non-religion, just the one true God. But then we look in the story about Abraham and how God wanted to dwell with the people, and lots of people rejected him, but Abraham trusted him, and so he promised that from him that people would come, and these people ended up being named Jewish people from Judah and Judaism, and also they inhabited a land called Israel. And so this period is about 2,000 years. But then when Jesus came, it says that he loved the whole world and he died for the whole world and that for all of us to trust him. That everyone, either everyone or most people in this room, aren't from a Jewish descent. And so we've been entered into this family. And so you have this last 2,000 years now of Jews and Gentiles. So that's where we are on the current day. But three reasons why Jesus isn't the Messiah to many Jews, or three reasons why Jesus is the Messiah for us as we believe it. And there's a spiritual reason. So there's three reasons: spiritual, I'm going to say social, and scriptural. And a spiritual reason, if you have your Bibles, if you've not opened that, I'm going to read it if you don't have it, so that's fine. But in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, so I'll read this if you don't have the Bibles, so don't worry about that. But Matthew 13, verses 10 to 17. And Jesus is speaking in what's called parables, so stories, so lots of stories. And his disciples then ask him a good question in verse 10. It says, the disciples came to him, Jesus, and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? Why are you speaking in these stories? Why are you speaking in this way? And verse 11 says this, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So he's speaking to some of these Jewish guys, but talking about the wider Jewish community. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, and I think Alan might have quoted this last week, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. And in verse 4, he said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And so he's going to the Old Testament and saying what Isaiah wrote in chapter 6. This is talking about the people now, and this is what it says in Isaiah 6. So he's quoting it. You will be ever hearing, but never perceiving, understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their eyes, and they have closed they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. This is what Jesus said to them. And there's a massive spiritual battle continually going on, not just for Jewish people, but for all people in regards to who Jesus is. And this spiritual unfolding that happens, I'll be honest, I don't fully understand. But Jesus said that we must be born again. He said we must be born again, not just a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth. And he's talking in that conversation in John 3, he's talking to a religious leader and a Pharisee, and this guy can't get over it, he can't work it out. What does that mean? Do I need to go back in my mother's womb? And he said, no, you need to be spiritually born again. And yet, because most Jews rejected Jesus, we as non-Jews now are brought into the story, brought into the family of God. And even for myself, I was brought up in a Christian family, went to church every Sunday, doing hundreds of sermons. But my heart was hard against God. I didn't want to know God. I didn't care for God. I wanted to do my own thing. Until I got to a point when I was 18, and almost like something just spiritually started happening in my life. Maybe the effect of prayer, of praying, parents started working in my heart, softening my heart. And then I started listening and started reading the Bible. And then I finally surrendered to Christ. I said, I believe in you. I believe you the way. I've got nothing to offer you, but I want to give you my life. And then the Spirit of God, not in a, I can't remember any like kind of really strong moment in that time, because after I kind of prayed and prayed, me and my friend just said, if you want to ask for food, I said, yeah, let's go for food. There was nothing kind of really significant that happened. But I started reading the Bible, and then things just started looking different. Things just started hearing different. And then I started seeing things, and God really spoke to me. And there was a spiritual awakening. It was something spiritually different. I was spiritually born again. And I said one of those frustrating things to my dad, who was a pastor, which I've heard now since as well. It's almost like I said, I don't think anyone's ever preached on these things before. And I was having to be as well. You never preached on this before. But it's not that. I heard those sermons, I heard those truths for years and years and years. And yet, for some reason, spiritually, it just hadn't awoken. And then in that moment, I could see, and I could see it like this. And this is what Jesus is talking about the Jewish people here, but their hearts are hardened, that they're not seeing. But also, his heart was for them. And it does talk about, in the future, that a remnant or people from Jews will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We want to pray for that. But there is a spiritual reason why Jews and people don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But for us who know him and who have had that experience, then this is really real, this is really true, and we all have a personal story with that. There's also a social side of why Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And there's this website and YouTube
called Jews for Jesus. Has anyone seen that? I'll send you, I thought I'd run out of time, but I was going to put a video at the end. I'll send it out on the WhatsApp group. So you've got this really good thing, Jews for Jesus. And they were brought up in Israel, brought up in Jerusalem. They knew the Torah and they believed that. And then they had a spiritual experience with Jesus and now saw him in the New Testament and saw him in these things. And they do these YouTube videos going around Jerusalem, and they say to people, I'm going to read these verses out for you. Can you tell me, is this from the Old Testament or New Testament? And the verses Alan spoke about last week, Isaiah 53, about Jesus being led like a sheep to the slaughter, and about how Jesus went to the cross and how he suffered, and also Psalm 22. They read out these verses to all these people and they say, that's definitely New Testament. Like they're like, oh, that's 100% the New Testament. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that it says that I've never read that before. I've never read the New Testament. And then he opens the book of Isaiah and shows them and they're like, but that sounded like Jesus. Like that's what I've heard about Jesus. And he's showing them. I'll send you the link. Or I've looked on it on YouTube, Jews for Jesus. But also these guys do a ministry among their heart is for Jewish people to know Jesus. But they also talk about there's a social reason as well why Jews today haven't believed that Jesus is the Messiah. And a social and an historical way as well, which is really sad. I was reading and listening to some of their stories. And on this article on their website, again, I can send, they said Jewish people are taught that Jesus is only for Gentiles. I'm just going to read you, this is direct quote from what they've said. I said, this sentiment isn't surprising. Growing up, most Jewish people are taught that Jesus is only for Gentiles. Moreover, if a Jewish person decides to follow Jesus, the Jewish community considers them converts to Christianity. At one point in history, and at times today, such people were considered apostates, lost to the Jewish community or even to their own families, and are often thrown out of their families and community and might struggle then to get married or have families and things like that. So that's a massive cost, isn't it? Like there's a massive social cost there of that. But then also he talks about historically as well, which is really sad. And I don't fully know if all of this is true, so I haven't looked into it, but this is what he talks about. He says, it's likely that one of the reasons why Jewish people don't believe in Jesus is because the history between the church and the synagogue has been written in blood and punctuated with violence and anti-Semitism. On May 27th, 1096, over 600 Jewish people were assassinated in Mainz at the start of the First Crusade. In 1492, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella signed the order to ban the Jewish people from Spain unless they converted at sword point to Christianity. Isn't that so sad? This is part of the history. Even the Protestant reformer Martin Luther, and again, I don't know 100% for this, but even the Protestant reformer Martin Luther was unreserved in his language, calling for the destruction of German Jewry. First, set fire to their synagogues. Second, I advise that their houses are also razed and destroyed. Many historians maintain that 15 centuries of anti-Jewish sentiment laid the foundation of the worst atrocity that the Jewish people had ever endured, the Holocaust. Holocaust survivor Rose Price recalls when the camp guards struck her. They told her they were doing this following Jesus' orders. Isn't that horrific? That's horrific. And they say these atrocities are obviously in direct opposition to the teaching of of Jesus and the New Testament writers. But this was often before people were able to read the Bible. People had the Bible where they could hear it and read it. It was controlled by powerful people. But isn't that so heartbreaking to hear that, and to hear that this is how people were affected, and how people then view Jesus, and some of them, even on some of the videos, even when they talk about it, they're angry, because there's like a historical reason why they're angry for that. Then also, like, finally, scriptural as well, then. Scriptural. Scriptural reasons for that, for why Jesus isn't the Messiah. I talked about there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, even the one on the video about coming into Jerusalem, that the king will come into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a donkey's colt, all the stories about Jesus being born in Bethlehem at the time, from coming from the tribe of Judah, even if his death, even the fact that his robes will be cast for lots. So all of this is in the Old Testament concerning Jesus, hundreds of years before he came to the earth. Often things that he had no control of, like being born in Bethlehem and these things. But these are six reasons why maybe not all, but quite a few Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is a guy called Julius Sis. The first reason is that the Messiah must be born from the tribe of Judah and a descendant of King David, which we as Christians know well. Yeah, that is true. Like, that is true. We know that. But this person says, well, if Joseph is not his dad, then he's not from the tribe of Judah. Well, that's a really poor argument, because if Joseph is not his dad, then the Bible says that God is his dad. And so that's a really poor argument on that. But they're not the main reasons why they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, is because they don't believe that their Messiah has to suffer, die, rise again, and come back. They don't believe in the second coming. So they believe that their Messiah will bring these last five things, but he won't need to die, he won't need to suffer, he won't need to come back. But Mark 8:31 says, he often said this, he said this many times, Jesus said, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And Jesus continually said this. He continually said this, and his followers tried to talk him out of it. No, don't do that. Just reign now. And these other five things, reasons 2 to 6, where we would say amen to that. We would say, yeah, these are in the Bible as well. We would say, yes, the rebuilding of the Holy Temple, a worldwide reign, but not in a physical sense of what they would say. We believe that the rebuilding of the Holy Temple is going to be Jesus, and we are going to be the temple, that the worldwide reign of peace will be in eternity, and that will be forever. And then people will all know the knowledge of God, and then some of the Jewish people will come back to know Jesus. And so we believe these things, but we believe that Jesus had to suffer and die and rise again, and this will be a result of him coming back again. And it makes you think the question then of, for Jews and for us today, like, what is our biggest problem? Like, what is our greatest problem? Because for Jews, they might think they still hold on to their commandments, they're still holding on to their laws, and their good works, and that's what will justify them. They're Jewish, they're from the tribe of Israel, they're from the descendants of Abraham. We have the law, so we're okay, so we'll stay with this. And so for them, then, their biggest desire, their biggest problem or wish is that Jesus, the Messiah will come and bring world peace, and that all Jerusalem will be saved, and that they will reign. And that's their biggest desire. So right now, their biggest problem is all the wars, all the pain that's going on. But for us as Christians who aren't Jewish, or for us personally, we've come to realize that our biggest problem is our own sin. Our biggest problem is our own sin. Someone says the problem with the human is the problem with the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. That's how we say, like, that's like our sin is the biggest issue. My barrier between me and God is my biggest issue. Even when I'm trying to be good, even when I'm doing my best, even when I'm all these things, there's still that issue. Even me, I've been married for 16 years, and I haven't gone a day without losing my temper, my wife, or arguing, or saying something wrong, or being a good husband. And even though I've tried, I still desire that, and I want that, it's still not there, and there's still an issue in my heart. But Jesus, and that's why we love him, is that he's come to deal with our biggest problem. And there's massive problems in the world, isn't there? There's massive problems with war, with poverty, with hunger, all these things.
Yet the greatest problem, and that comes from all this, is our sin problem, is the problem with the human heart. And so that's why Jesus came. Like, we come up to Good Friday night. Why is it Good Friday? Like, Jesus died on a cross and was buried. Why is it Good Friday? It's only Good Friday if that means the death and burial of my sin and of your sin. It's only Good Friday then if you're trusting in him that he has died for your sin and for my sin. And because it says, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. And that's why we sing every Sunday. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we pray. That's why we love one another, look to support one another. It's not to earn God's good books or try to get in his, try to like twist his arm. Because of Jesus, we get to wake up knowing that I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am loved by the one and true and living God. Because Jesus died and he rose again. And he has said so. He has said so that if I trust him, that I am his and he is mine. And so that's why Friday is good. That's why sin is the biggest problem, and we trust him. And we pray for them and for you and for us to remember that as we go into this Easter weekend. Let's pray as the band come up and finish with this final song. Yeah, Jesus, we just want to say our faith is in you.
and our trust is in you. And that we believe who you are, Lord. We believe that you are the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And we believe as well, Lord, that you died for our sin, not for your sin. We believe that you died for our sin. And we believe that you rose again so that we can rise again, so that we can be born again and have eternity with you. And Lord, we pray for everyone in this room who haven't experienced that, like their spiritual rebirth, or this being real in their hearts and minds. Pray, Lord, that you'll touch their hearts, open their hearts, and that they will wrestle with that and be born again. We pray, Lord, as we looked at the Jewish community this morning, people of Israel, people who you love and died for and rose again for, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll touch their hearts. Lord, we pray for these people who are Jews for Jesus, Lord, that you will help them and use them to share truth. We pray, Lord, that people will start reading the New Testament and see you in that. And Lord, for any of us who are friends with Jewish people, we pray that we have conversations to be able to share you, Jesus. Lord, that you came and your heart was for them, and yet they don't know you, they've shared so many untruths about you. We pray, Lord, that you will touch their hearts. And even in the craziness right now, the world and the wars that's going on right now with Israel, America, and Iran, and Lebanon, and all these things. Lord, we just ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. So much we see, Lord, is breaking your heart. And so much of it breaks our heart. We ask for your kingdom to come, your will to be done. So much of it doesn't represent you like that we've looked at today. We pray, Lord Jesus, people will know you, people will see you, and others will follow you. And may we, Lord, because of all that you've done, may we know that we are accepted, that we are forgiven, that we are loved by the true and living.